TrinityWellness4Radio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at HigherAscent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. Welcome to Soul Sister Sunday, a heart for worship followed by church reboot, with your international brand ambassadors for Christ.
Ooh. Sure is hot out here. No, I don't mind though. Glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to praise you. Welcome. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Soul Sister Sunday and the Heart for Worship. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so much for getting up and joining us this morning. Whether you called in or you're listening through the internet, we just want to thank you. You can always find us at www.blogtalkradio.com/soulsisterradio, and you're able to get a free Blog Talk account and hop on and listen to us through the internet and visit us in the chat room. Or, of course, always feel free to call the toll-free number at 347-857-3760 and join us each and every Sunday starting at 7:30 as we lock arms and hang out with God and wake up with a cup of joe. So anyway, today is Sunday the 22nd, and we are just a few days away from Christmas. I cannot believe it's already Christmas time. And before I get into what I want to visit with you about before worship, I just want to first say thank you so much to all of our sponsors, especially B&B Builders, ImageMakeover.com, and ToBeAccountable.com. We just thank you so much for your continued support. We thank you for always seeing the vision of what it is we're doing, trying to bring the love of Christ to the listeners out there that maybe don't always have the ability to be sitting in a church or wherever it is that they are, that they can just tune in and come as they are where they're at. So thank you so much to you. With it being just Christmas around the corner, you know, it's a crazy, hectic time, and I think we live, you know, in this generation where things are so speedy and moving so fast, and technology and everything else, we just get so caught up in the hustle and bustle that sometimes it's not till Christmas morning or you know, right before we're opening gifts with our families that we really sit down and just pause and take a minute and recognize why it is we chose December 25th to celebrate Christmas. And I know there's a lot of controversy that goes on behind Christmas, and is it really the birth of, you know, Christ's birthday, and or it was a pagan holiday, or all these different things. And the way that I always respond to that is, you know, it may not be his exact birth date, so to speak, but it's a day that we as his believers and his children chose to take a holiday that was originally pagan and turn it for good and use it to celebrate things that are meaningful and pure and right. And that's what God tells us to do, is to think on things that are pure and just and right. And that's Christ Jesus. And so he promises to take anything that's meant for harm and turn it for good. And I believe that that's what he did so many years ago when we started celebrating his birthday on this day. So welcome as we go into this wonderful time of worship. We're going to just sit back and enjoy some lovely Christmas music and just fill our hearts with peace and joy of Christ. A lot of times it's really hard for folks this time of year because they're dealing with so many different pains, whether it's, you know, financially or spiritually or you know, things going on within their family. And I just wanted to touch this morning. We may go a little bit long, but I just wanted to touch this morning and leave our listeners with hope and peace and joy, because that's what the Father is all about. Is peace, hope, love, joy, faith, all those things. So the first place I wanted to just touch on was Matthew 1:18. And that's, if you go to Matthew 1:18, that's where it talks about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it talks about, starting in verse 18, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to marry to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And from there, you can continue to read about, you know, how Mary and Joseph, you know, what they went through to give birth to Jesus and become the Savior of the world. And I just, as the Lord was pouring this out on me this morning, he then took me to Romans 5. And in Romans 5, he said, it's all about peace and joy. It starts in verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I just wanted to encourage you in that, because then the last thing before we go into worship, it was a three-part thing that the Lord poured onto my heart this morning. It was about his birth, what it meant, what he left for us, and what we have to look forward to. And that's heaven. And if you read Revelation 21 and 22, it gives you a beautiful description of what heaven is like and where we get to spend eternity and what that's going to be like when we get there. And I don't have time to read the whole two chapters, but I just wanted to touch on a small part in Revelation 21. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" So I just want to leave you with that as we go into this time of worship, because God had a plan. His son had a purpose, and his purpose was us. So no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult this day is, remember, we are celebrating this season with the birth of Jesus. And he came, and he lived, and he died so that we could have the hope of living with God in eternity. So please enjoy the worship music and just love on your Father.
Kiss the face of God. Oh. Christ is Lord. Thank you for joining us here on Soul Sister Sunday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Church Reboot and Becky. What a beautiful, beautiful show, as always. You've prepared the way. Today, we're going to kind of do something different. I've advertised a certain show, but God has totally turned me in a different direction. We will go back to what Covet is, but we'll talk a little bit about it today. But there's been some changes, and we're here, and we really want to focus on what it is, that responsibility of being a mother, and to truly understand when you have children and they're called by God, because all of us are. And we're going to focus on the birth of Christ and why it's important to really stay focused on what the truth is, and history cannot be rewritten. Yes, Becky. You were talking on your show that December 25th is a date that, is it truly the birth date of Christ? Okay, give or take. The truth is, it is the date that we have chosen out of all the dates to represent the birth of Christ. And why is this important? Again, it truly doesn't matter if you believe he is the Son of God or not. There's simple facts that are and will always remain to be true, that if you are in a country, no matter which country you are in today, it doesn't matter if you have a Jewish New Year or a Persian New Year or a Chinese New Year. In the country that you are in, if you are going to write me a check or sign a contract, you're going to sign the year 2013. That is the truth. It cannot be disputed. So, what is 2013 from? The truth remains the same. You have either AD or BC. No matter how you want to cut the cake, the BC stands for before Christ, before this date that took place 2,000 plus years ago from a little girl. And I say a little girl because Mary could have only been about 15 or 16. And Becky, you may know more about this than I do. When the angel came to her and said, hey, what do you think about this? And she says, wow, you know, do unto me as you say. That day split time. It split history. It is the fact it is and cannot be disputed. So today, on this date, 2013 years later, it is 12:22, and this foundational scripture in Hebrews 12:22 is the reason why we're here on Soul Sister Sunday on 4 Radio under the Soul Sister Enterprise. We wanted to come together as a whole bunch of people that lives all over the place and really come and have church. And what is church? Whenever two or more are gathered in his name, we are here in his name, and we are the church. As Becky, we went through that last weekend. I think it was last weekend or the weekend before. And again, I want to send a special prayer out to mothers right now. Kate, all of us on this team are praying for you. Your son Jeremiah is dancing with the angels. He is in heaven, and I know that he is. I know that he is actually embracing Lisa's husband, ex-husband's wife, Oscar's stepmother. I know that they're embracing each other. This pain, whatever it is, I know that once they're in heaven, it is released and all this peace comes about. So please, I just know that the grace of God is on your life, dear Kate. And your son Jeremiah is in heaven and his pain is no longer. There is no longer any stress or confusion in his mind or in his thought. He has all the questions to the wise, all of them. And he has a peace that he has sitting at the foot of Christ. I just know it. I can see it. So please know that there is peace, and it belongs to you. He died so you can have it. And this is what you believe, and I know that it is a struggle right now. I pray for all of your children. I pray for your family completely, and know that you are covered and surrounded in love and in prayers. Lisa, I want you to know that we are surrounding you in love and prayers, and that Oscar remains in our thoughts. And what an amazing, beautiful perspective, as crazy as it all is, but the amazing rose that he created, his mother, out of toilet paper in the place that he is at. It's just incredible, these little gifts that we know that are inside of these souls that are hurting, because there's so much confusion, so much that is clouding their cup. And I just want to send a special prayer out to all of them, all of us, because all of us have a certain level of voices that are going off in your head that you don't want to admit to. And just know that you're not alone. We're all here. We were not promised it was going to be easy, but we were promised it was going to be worth it if you really paid attention and followed the way, the truth, and the life. And that's why we're here. That's why it's important not to take the Christ out of Christmas, to understand that it is the truth. It sets us free. There's no debate. BC means before Christ, And God bless Barbara Walters. This week she admitted that she thought Obama was the next Messiah. And as I listened to that, I chuckled. I actually saw her say it out of her mouth. And I just laughed as I thought, the next Messiah, which means this wonderful Jewish woman has to admit that the divinity of Christ, the Christ, Jesus, could possibly have been the Messiah. So that's why we're here. That's why we're here together, so we can focus on what it is to choose to be a mother. Then the question that I have for you, Becky, if you're still there with me, are you?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. The question that I have for you, because the show is going to be on coveting, and Mary's role, Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, her role is intense. Would you have wanted that? Because truly, she had to have been a young woman when the angel came to her. And if I'm not mistaken, she was about 15 or 16, around there. Would you have taken on that role knowing, think about how tough it is being a pregnant teenager now. Think about it back then. Would you have taken on that role?
Well, of course, my first reaction would be heck no. But, you know, I mean, yeah, sure, no problem. You know, because one, back then, if you were considered an adulterer, you were stoned to death. And add in the fact that she wasn't even married yet, and poor, you know, Joseph having to, you know, embrace the fact that he hasn't even consummated their marriage because they're not married yet. How could it possibly be other than, you know, in the flesh, we want to say she was with another man. So, but I guess when you go a little bit deeper into it, you know, if any of us that are listening or anyone that hears the show has had their encounter with the Lord and really truly had their moment where they know that they know that they know he is who he says he is, and that's all that matters, I think he gives you that strength. His Holy Spirit puts that on you. And I think if I was in that moment of being in the presence of God, I think it would be, there wouldn't be a doubt that you just say, you know, your will be done. Yes. You know, whatever you have for me. And then after that moment, you just, and I think that's what she did. I think she had, when the angel of the Lord came upon her, she just had that power just came upon her, and that peace and that overwhelming, just that connection with him, because your souls connect. And it's just like, yeah, whatever you ask, I'll do. So my flesh says no, but my spirit says yes.
It's funny because as you're talking, I can feel your energy start to go. And it's that energy that you understand, that energy that becomes infectious, that energy that is truly what I try and get my clients to focus on, because it's that energy that is what causes us to be obedient and just go, absolutely, whatever you want me to do. And no matter what comes against you, as we're watching right now with Phil Robertson, and I just want to send prayers out to that family and really the strength of the Lord be on him, because we're going to be attacked, obviously. So this song I want you just to listen to, and I want you to understand that Mary understood because she loved so unconditionally and so passionately and so obediently. And obedient was not a negative word. That's one of the things that I want you to share, Becky. How do you take somebody who has the negative perspective of the word obedience and put it into what you have experienced over this year and what obedience truly means to you now?
Well, I know that when you come to a place where you're at the end of yourself, and I think we do that periodically on and off throughout our whole life, where we go a direction and we're on a path and we think we're doing everything right and we're doing and we're saying and we're trying to be the right person. And God just finally wakes you and shakes you and realizes, you know, I accept you as you are. You don't have to be fixed. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything right. Come to me. And then you get real with them and you express your anger and you express the things that you don't necessarily let the world see because, of course, you're trying to do everything right. And then you just be still because you know that you can try and do things your way and think you're doing them the way God wants you to do them. And you're reading your Bible and you're staying in the Word and you're it's an action. You're going through the actions and emotions. And yes, your heart's for Christ and all those things. And all these things are still being thrown at you. And just like I read in Romans 5 this morning, you have to persevere because perseverance builds endurance and endurance builds character and character, you know, produces hope. And that's what really got to me because I just, in the middle of all these storms, the rock was Christ. And he was all I had. And just like that song, all other other ground is sinking sand. That was my rock. And when I got to that place where he was the only seen person and hope that I had that was pulling me through this, it melted my heart. And it made me realize, you know what? What he has for me, even if I don't understand it and want to fight it, he knows. He's got all my days written out. And it's just time for me to just, and I say this with in a hopeful way, to just give up. I gave up fighting because I have so many hurts in my life of I don't need anybody. I've got God. He's all I need. I don't need you to tell me what to do. I don't need you to tell me what's right. And because you get all these people trying to, because they love you, tell you what they think you should do. And so you think that you're taking it in subjectively and you're still following Christ. But when you really get alone with God and you really spend that time with him, and you really fall in love with him because he loves you so much and you realize he is it. He is who I'm with. Other than myself, he is who I'm with. And knowing that he wants the best for me, I think is what really did it, is knowing he would never do anything to hurt me, ever. Even though things come at me and things happen, not his desire. It's not his heart. It made it easy for me to want to say, whatever you want, God. If it's what you want me to do, I don't want to hurt you because I know you would never hurt me. And I want to do what's right in your eyes because that's what matters most. When I go to my grave and my body's buried and my spirit lives, that's what matters to me. I want to know that I did everything to be a good steward, a good child, a good bride, everything. A good Christian, I want to make sure that I glorify him, and by following him and surrendering to him and being obedient to him is the only way that I can do that. And so it took a lot of ripping of my spirit apart, and you know, God, Jesus was a carpenter, so, you know, he came in and he tore me all apart, and he just slowly started putting me back together and making me realize I didn't have to carry all the hurts. I didn't have to, you know, they didn't have to become who I was. That I was a new creation in him. And so just, I guess, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but that's what made obedience easy rather than trying to be obedient in the world's eyes.
This song is kind of a cute little song, and I really, really like it because, again, it had to have been a heavy moment in this woman's life, like it is in any of our lives. And to be that obedient, to truly understand that she understood what you are speaking of right now, at such a level that she didn't flinch, and you know how that feels. I know how that feels. And she knew she was going to have a boy child, and that boy child was going to be the man that you were going to fall in love with. So think about you being the mother of every woman's husband and what that truly means. And Mary's boy child was that.
Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. This was written in the Old Testament, and at the scripture that you gave, what was it this morning, Matthew? Becky, if you can remember.
Matthew 1, I think.
Yes.
1:18.
Go ahead and read it if you could.
Actually, it's 23. It says, the virgin will be with child, and he will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Okay. And it became a reality. This is the one thing that I've learned. And again, I wanted to go back and read Hebrews 12:22. And again, there's no coincidences that today is December 22nd. We all come today, I was starting on that thought, and I wanted to go back to it really quick on why we're here. Hebrews 12:22, therefore, and again, Becky, this is what I find so amazing, as you were sharing your scripture this morning, and God had totally changed this whole show on me today to read this scripture. And what did you read today? Here we go. Hebrews 12:22. But rather, you have come to Mount Zion, even the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless multitude of angels in joyful assembly. That's why we have to be here. We have to share about what is happening today, that this is Christmas, that Mary understood the magnitude of what her responsibility was. She understood that this boy child that she was going to bring needed to be adored. She understood, Becky, that your heart was going to fall in love with him as much as my heart has fallen in love with him. Now, I have a stepson, but I did not give birth to that son, but you have a son. It's way different, I know, the relationship between a mother and a son. Can you share with our audience a little bit about what it's like to adore your son?
Sorry about that. I was on mute. You know, I get emotional when I think about my kids, so I can only imagine what God thinks of his son and all of us. But it's funny you asked me that because he actually stayed the night with his friend, and I'm sitting in his room staring at his pictures of all his proms and homecoming. So looking as he's grown over the years. You know, this is kind of touchy for me this morning because I really feel like there's an attack on this generation of men. Ugh. And I really feel like Satan is trying to take them out. And I think it's because there is such a spiritual awakening in all of them. If you really want to know the truth, they are different. And raising my son and daughter are just so different. My daughter, bless her heart, she's always been seeking God in some way or another since she was a little girl. And my son, being the oldest, of course, when we walk through, you know, he loved God too, and he used to always pray for, ask me to pray for him. I know he's got the gift of healing because anytime something hurt on him, he would always ask me, Mom, please pray for healing over my leg, or hurts, or my toe, or, you know, whatever was hurting from sports, always asked me to pray for him. But I've watched him over the years through my our circumstances in life and you know, death of the marriage of his father and I and what his father went through, you know, being an alcoholic. And that hurt from him. I've seen it, you know, just build up in him and him fight through trying to figure out who he is. And I think there's an identity crisis in the men today because of the lack of spiritual leadership from the fathers. And I'm not blaming them. It's just the way that it is. So I think if we can raise our boys, and what's really been pouring out my heart this week is that, myself included, we raised them in church. We didn't raise them in Christ. And that's what's sticking out in me from that book that we read when I went through, and I can't even think of the name right now, but I know that I raised my son in church, but I didn't do quite the job I think I should have done in teaching him how to have a relationship with Christ. I think it's easy for women because of our nature and God being God and in their mind a male figure rather than just spirit. And so it's tough in this generation, you know, to teach a male how to fall in love with a male figure when they haven't had that male figure exemplified to them on earth. But just as much as us girls have that problem with our daddy issues, you know, boys have it too. And so I've really just encouraged my son as of late that that's all that matters. You know, I don't stress at him about sitting in church. I ask him to go every week, but, you know, the Lord's faithful, and he just encourages us as mothers that if our children won't listen to us, I know my prayer has changed from the Lord. If my son won't hear me, please put people in their path that they will hear, and they will hear your message, and they will grow and lean and learn to have a relationship with you. Whatever it takes, Lord, bring those people into his life so that he will hear them. And, I see a shift in him. I see friends that are coming to his path that are more stronger in their faith than he is. Although I know he's saved and he loves God, he doesn't have that close relationship like some others do. But I see where God is faithful in opening those doors to open those conversations to him and just show him, you know, money isn't what matters. Material things isn't what matters. You know, what matters is relationships. What matters is your relationship with Christ, because that's what you have when you go into eternity. That's what matters. And God's faithful in that. And that's, I think, what I've seen has been the hardest thing with raising my son, is teaching him how to love Jesus and have a relationship with him other than just sitting in church.
You know, it's so ironic, and no, it's not ironic because I don't believe in coincidences, so I'm going to put it out there and I'm going to speak his name because I told him I was going to. And that is, I had an amazing conversation with a gentleman by the name of Mark P. We'll just say Mark P. And he is an incredible mentor in my life. And I have asked him to come and do a show in January specifically to speak on that subject. What is it like? I understand what it's like for a woman to fall in love with Jesus. He's a guy. I can totally get it. But if you are a heterosexual thinking male, okay, it's got to be a difficult place for a man to fall in love with another man. And so I've asked him to come and teach on this, and I have watched Mark's path diligently and his wife, and I know especially what you just said. Not only do our sons need these incredible mentors, but our daughters need them too. And there's a product that's coming back around, and Mark's wife is taking it on. And I'm just praying to see, because I know that I would love my daughter to work with and for Mark and his wife. So simply because of what you just said, it's really, you're right. I think our men are being attacked in this generation, but our girls are being attacked too. They're just stronger for some reason. This is what I'm learning.
Well,
about.
And you know, and I think, honestly, Maria, I was thinking about that exact same thing. You know, why are our girls so much stronger? And
yeah.
I think all I could liken it to, and this is treading lightly, so I could be spurring some controversy, but I'm just going to say it.
I Jesus' name.
I think it stems from the woman's living. We are that generation, and we are raising the daughters. And so we've raised them to be strong. We've raised them to look to Christ because of everything we've already walked through, where in that generation the men have taken a back seat and their masculinity has been stripped and everything that they've known to be has been taken from them. And that generation of men is what's raising this generation of men. And so to get the roles back in place is really the way God intended them to be. Because as I said, obedience and surrendering and doing things God's way, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. And when we get back to that and when we get a hold of that, that's the generation that really grasps that is the one that's going to take the next generation to a different level.
Well, this next song, I want you just to sit back and just really listen to the words, because when you do understand the majesty of it all and really, again, just the majesty and the magnitude of this simple birth date of the Christ coming down in the flesh, Yahshua being born, Emmanuel. It's amazing when you really understand and that light goes off and you just are drawn to it because you simply adore him. You know, Becky, I'm just totally going with the Holy Spirit as he gave me a list of songs, and after we're done with our show, I'm just going to play the rest of the songs that he had me write down. But the next one I really want to send out to you mothers of sons and stepmothers of sons too. But truly those mothers that have given birth to sons, and those mothers that are hurting right now simply because of the truth that you just spoke, Becky. I truly believe that what you said is absolute truth, that there, after 1965, this world as we knew it made a shift, and things changed, and things have never been the same. And I know that I walked the things that I walked through, because by the time I was four, it was 1969, and sex, drugs, rock and roll, and free love was what this world was about, along with the women's movement. And again, I don't want to strike any controversy either. I'm all about, you know, women's rights and, you know, their right to do whatever they need to do. But in all of that ego that has been instilled in that movement, the enemy certainly has come in. And I see all these little boys, and I see these little girls too, that are hurting, that are in pain, that are screaming out. No one is hearing. No one is listening. We need to find safe places for them to be able to heal. And I pray, as silence has gone over for the last 48 hours, that there is nothing but peace happening in those homes. I pray. And this next song, I want you to understand what it's like for these children. Because in those moments of clarity, I get who Jeremiah is and Oscar is and John is and all Nathaniel is. All of the boys and all of the girls and all of my clients and all of the women in my life and all of the men in my life and my family and all of those who seem just a little crazy. It's good when you know that you're crazy, because crazy people, truly those that are in pain crazy, have no idea that they are. So they don't sit around thinking that they are. So please know, this song I wasn't sure if I was going to play it because it's a really, really sad song, but it truly is the heart of a little boy who loves his mommy so much. And I know, Kate, that Jeremiah was that little boy, and he loves you so much. And despite what this world threw at you as a family, I know that all has been forgiven in his name and through his blood, and you know that this is truth. So know and hear the words of these little boys as they sing for their moms and truly understand the love. Because you're right, Becky. How can you imagine the love of a parent? But you also know the love of a child. And remember when that little boy would stare up at you and know. And I remember, even though I had a little girl, staring back down at those eyes, going to God, going, you've got this one. Because I so don't know. Because this amount of love is overwhelming. So listen to the simple boy's prayer for his mommy on Christmas.
Trying to buy that last gift or two, not really in the Christmas mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously, pacing round like little boys do, and in his hands he held a pair of shoes. And his clothes were worn and old, he was dirty from head. When it came time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. It It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while. Know these shoes will make her smile. One or two look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight. They counted pennies for what seemed like years. Then the cashier said, son, there's not enough here. He searched his pockets frantically. Then he turned and he looked at me. He said, Mama made Christmas good at our house, though most years she just did without. Tell me, sir, what am I gonna do? Somehow I've gotta buy her these Christmas shoes. So I laid the money down. I just had to help him out. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he said, Mama's gonna look so great. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and know these shoes will make her smile, and want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight. I knew I caught a glimpse of heaven's love as it thanked me and ran out. I knew that God had sent that little boy to remind me what Christmas is all about.
Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size.
Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
Sitting here looking at the wall I just put up in my new office, and I've waited almost 10 years to put up an icon, is what they call them, in Greece. And my mother in Greece, Elsa Drossos, gave it to me, and it's beautiful, and it's on wood, and it's hammered metal, and it's the Virgin Mary and her son, Jesus Christ. And again, I can only imagine, because I've never given birth to a son, what he must have been thinking on the cross as his mother was looking up at him. She knew when she took on that role of being the role model, the one to raise him, the one to point him in the right direction to do all that is right. Having him, or becoming a parent, is a really difficult thing, no matter what kind of child you have, male or female, and that responsibility. But to know that she had that responsibility for the Christ, it's amazing. And again, I can only imagine what he could have been possibly thinking, because it came full circle on that day when she looked up at him, as she was there when she gave him birth, and she watched as his flesh died. Again, you can only imagine what a gift that is. This next song I'm going to share, because for a long time I said no to go places and do things because I didn't have anything to bring. And for years, I've watched people do the same thing. Oh, they don't feel good, or they make up some excuse. I understand, truly, when you don't have any gas. But this is the time when you have to understand that the gift was him. He died, and that was the greatest gift. And that was so we could live and be in the presence, in his presence, in the present moment today. So I want you to really listen to the words of this song and understand that if you ask, God will give you, and you may think you're getting something broken that doesn't work, or a person that's broken and doesn't work. But truly, these broken things are gifts, and all we have to do is tend to them, take care of them, these souls that are placed before us. Make sure that they are given the milk, the meat, the time, the effort, the patience, the grace, the mercy, so we can present to God this gift.
A poor orphan girl named Maria was walking the market one day. She stopped for to rest by the roadside, where a bird with a broken wing lay. A few moments passed till she saw it, for its feathers were covered with sand. And soon cleaned and wrapped it was traveling in the warmth of Maria's small hand. She happily gave her last peso on a cage made of rushes and twine. She batted loose corn from the market, watched it grow stronger with time. Now the gift-giving service was coming, and the church hung with tinsel and lights. And all of the town folk brought presents to lay by the manger that night. There were diamonds, incense and perfumes, and packages before a king. But for one ragged bird in a small cage, Maria had nothing to bring. She waited till just before midnight, so no one would see her go in. And crying, she knelt by the manger, for her gift was unworthy of him. Then a voice spoke to her through the darkness, "Maria, what brings you to me? If the bird in the cage is your offering, open the door, let me see." So she trembled, she did as he asked her, and out of the cage the bird flew, soaring up into the rafters, on a wing that is heel good as new. Just then the midnight bells rang out, and the little bird started to sing a song that no word could recapture, for its beauty was fit for a king. other offering was lifted to heaven by the very first nightingale's song.
Truly, when you walk this path and you understand the depth of obedience and understand what it was like for her to be that obedient and truly give birth to the dream that God had for all of us to accept, it's our choice. It's a free choice. You can either, God is so amazing. He gave you a choice. Here's death and here's life. Not only is this life, I'm going to give you a walking, breathing example of how to do it right, and I'm going to suggest that you choose life. And God is so amazing because he gives us that choice, death, which not so good, or life, and not only, but all the tools and the examples. And if you look and you truly start reflecting this in other people, this is why Becky, I know your steps that you have walked this year. I know it. I can taste it because I know the pain. I know the agony. I was there. I witnessed it. I felt it. I know it because I've lived it. And when you start to surround yourself with like-minded people that get it on this level, all this other stuff is static. And if we could get people to just tune out the static and start tuning into their main source, which is God, wow, I can only imagine what that's going to be like. I would like, Susie, if you could, I don't know, you haven't pressed the one, but I would like to know if you would like to close us out in prayer, and I would like to do that now, and then I'm going to pray or play this cute song for all the mothers who have boys, because I remember as my little brother, as a young little boy, he would take an oatmeal. Remember the oatmeal, Quaker oat, that came in a big old round tub in the old days? And my mother would string, gosh, I'm having a memory. Ooh, this is weird. Okay. My mother would string around so my little brother could use it as a drum. And he would stand outside in front of the big nativity scene that we had in front of the front yard. Wow, these are really old memories. And he would sit there, and for hours he would sing and play the little drummer boy. And Justin Bieber did a new release last year, and I love it so much, and I want to share it as we close out. And Susie, are you there? I know that you may be at work,
yes,
and you can't. Oh, you are there. Would you close us out in prayer? And Becky, thank you again so much for today. This is such Holy Spirit, just kind of winging it today, and you bless me every time just by being here with me, and I can't thank you enough. And so thank you so much. Again, to all of our sponsors, thank you. Jesus is going to be born, and we're going to celebrate. And today we're sending special prayers and blessings to all those mothers, especially all those mothers of boys, of sons who are this generation that need all the help that we can give them, all the encouragement, the mentorship. I want to pray for all those mothers out there, especially Kate and Lisa and all of you that are just suffering from whatever this attack seems to be. So if you could close us out in prayer, and then I'm going to play the little drummer boy and then a few more songs that are going to take us past the hour that are going to go into archives. So again, thank you so much. Becky, would you like to say anything before we go? Merry Christmas and all that wonderful stuff. And she's gotten Country is on tomorrow.
Yes, I just want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. And I know it can be a little bit heavy-revy sometimes when we're on here, but we all love the Lord, and we're all excited to celebrate the season. And we know God is right smack dab in the middle of it, and that's why we're here and why we celebrate it. And anyway, I love you guys. And please, yes, Maria, you had that lovely little memory of Christmas, and that is what we're talking about tomorrow on She's Gone Country. So we're opening up the lines to the callers, and just sharing our favorite Christmas holiday special memories and just sitting around the fire and reminiscing. So if you or anyone out there listening want to call in back to the same number tomorrow at 7, that's what we're doing.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right, Susie, go ahead and close us out. And yes, we're going to leave it with an upbeat song to come into this joyful time of celebration.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the world today, all the women and men, little boys and little girls that are looking for you, God, that they find you in their hearts. I thank you, God, for the suffering today in our world, all those who are cold, that you would warm them. I thank you, Father, for every tear that is shed today, that you capture it with a bottle and you place their very own name on it. You've never forgotten one of us, and we never will forget you, God. Thank you for all the children that were born that left the earth early, God, and especially for Kate and her son. And God, our prayers are out for her and her whole family and every family that has lost someone during this holiday season, the wrecks on the road and the people who've went to be with you sooner than we ever thought because of illness. Thank you for hearts that are sad, that you would make them smile somehow. Thanks for everyone who is not having a Christmas as far as gifts, that they have you in their heart, God. Thank you for this time that we find something to smile about. Thank you, Father, for this radio show and all of our hosts and sisters that come together to the world. Thank you for touching each one of them and those who aren't with us today on the line. Thank you for strengthening all of us. Thank you, Father, for those needs that need to be met just so someone has food today. Thank you, Father, for this time of giving, that we remember who gave us the most precious Son of all, Jesus Christ, who came and died so that we could have the hope of eternal life. Thank you for that, God. Thank you that it stays with us forever and that we never forget that one Son. I thank you, Father, for all four of my sons today, God, that you be with them and strengthen them, that their seed stays fertile, that life goes on, because life is in the seed. We thank you for the world today, Father, all those fighting for our country, all those who can't be home with their children. Thank you for the men that are strong, that are fathers, that know their job, and who are heads of their household. Thank you that that head of the household stays in the family forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Right. surprised you didn't hear this in the Bible. I'm so tight, I might go psycho. Christmas time, so here's a recital. I'm so bad like Michael. I know I'm still young, but I go stupid, stupid, love like Cupid. I'm the drummer boy, so dope.
Sipping eggnog with a little sprinkle of vanilla, even though it's kinda cold. I'm pulling out a chinchilla. Bieber hit me back and said, let's make it hot up in the winter. I said, cool, cool. You know I'ma deliver, let's collaborate and make the holiday a little bigger. Before we work, I gotta get this off. See the other family members and drop gifts off. Then I'm headed to the studio, cause ain't nothing stopping. How you know we about to turn it up and really get it popping now? People everywhere and all our Twitter followers, Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah.
On the street with no food, it's not fair. It's about time for you to act merrily. It's about time for you to give to charity. Rarely do people even want to help at all, cause they're warm by the fire, getting toys and the dolls. Not thinking there's a family out hungry and cold, wishing that they had somebody they could hold. So I think some of you need to act bold. Give a can to a drive, let's change the flow. Flow. I'm the drummer boy, so dope. I'm the drummer boy, so dope.
May you receive the honor that you deserve. are an offering to you.
Christ is Lord.
Freak4Radio.com.